Hello and welcome to the Ops Team. This is the show where we get together once a week and we start to talk about things that have maybe happened in the world of IT and IT operations and DevOps over the course of the past week or so. It's the first time that I've actually been in the studio for a little while.
Is it?
Yeah. You guys have been in here fairly regularly.
And we've just recently retrained you on the board.
Yes.
To make sure that we have more than just one camera angle going through.
Occasionally,
that's why you really slowed down when you were talking.
Yeah. Occasionally, things might be a little bit slower as it takes me a while to learn which button to press. Apparently, a trained monkey could do this, but I can't. So let's see if we can maybe get this right for a change this week. Thank you very much. We're all a little bit slow. This room, it smells like none of us have actually left for a while.
Yes.
Although
last episode was good. You know, we were on the road, you were out, we were out, mm-hmm. and the environment was very dark and lonely.
That's right, you guys were at the beach.
We're on the Gold Coast.
Yeah. I still have my sunburn.
Yeah. Mm. It was a good show. It was good. Shame about the wind noise and the lack of audio recording from our good friend Pierre Roman from the Canadian subsidiary. So we found out he forgot to press record halfway through.
So we need to replace Pierre with a monkey as well.
Yeah, Pierre has been replaced with a monkey.
Okay. We also appear to have a new member of the cast at the moment. Not quite sure we have a camera angle that actually effectively covers.
Just about gets in there.
You can almost see him.
It is the Pelican Brief.
He just recently arrived from Turkey.
Absolutely no relation to Pelican.
No relation to Pelican. We were looking for some kind of an object to represent him, and this was the only thing we could find.
I guess most of his stuff is still
in transit.
Transit, in packing cases.
Yep.
So it does kind of work.
Aruz, he'll be here soon.
Yes.
If he shows up magically in the glass window, he'll knock on the window. But we had to go. We only have a certain finite amount of time to record the show.
Yeah.
But we will weave in his 5 minutes. So he's here to talk about open source and dev ops related stuff, or ops dev as we are friendly calling it now. you'll hear from him. Don't worry, because David is out this week.
Nice. Mm. So as we do, we go ahead and we do a spinner, and today's spinner is going to be once again my phone. It always works out quite well. But this time we're going to be using a beer bottle as the as the actual pointer on that particular one.
From Australia.
This is a Duke Premium Lager that we tried out from a local brewery in Burnaby Beach area, I do believe. Mm. We'll see where it goes. Let's do a real spin here. Sorry, let's do a real spin. It's hitting my cord,
let's
man.
Do it over here.
There we go.
There's a little bit of spice.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. Try this.
Oh,
so that's a spin. That's a spin. There we go. Here we go. Where he stopped? Where he knows. Oh,
it's on you.
That's fixed.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Knows who to do this to. So this is going to be all about Azure.
Right.
And Azure stuff.
You're the warmer pack for the real technology as we described last time.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Right. So.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. I had to reinstall the timer again because I reimaged my laptop just recently. So hopefully, I don't know what sound it's going to play at the end. I don't know if it'll work, but we'll give it a go.
Thanks, man.
5 minutes on the clock. Here we go. You ready?
Yep. Okay, so I actually just found out last night, and the funny thing is, a lot of times you find out about stuff through blog announcements and RSS feeds. So if you don't already do so, you might want to subscribe to the Azure.com blog site main RSS feed for new updates and new information, as I do. And one of the things that came across that particular feed last night, which was rather interesting, is announcing the general availability of the Azure portal now coming out of preview.
Woohoo!
So
it has been.
It's
no longer called the preview portal, or internal code name we used to call it, which is Ibiza. It is now in general availability. Now, in case you don't know, this is something that's potentially more interesting to the dev side of the house, but the Azure Portal Preview is more of a framework that each of the individual teams are able to go and plug into to make their services available and discoverable to the Azure population and the Azure subscriptions. And so the quality bar of the types of things that are included in there varies, but there is a minimum bar of entry that they have to be able to be part of the Ibiza portal, or sorry, the general preview, or just the portal.
The portal.
I'm just going to call it
the portal.
So basically, it's now come out of preview, and what that means is they've taken out a lot of the check code, the telemetry code that was capturing stuff that was potentially causing service issues or delays with the representation of the service, not the service itself. That's now coming out, but basically they're collecting data around 2.5 billion monthly requests, 22 million blades. As you scroll down, stuff would be open. 18 different languages, 20 different geographies, 1,800 blades across 75 different experiences. All that comes down to is that now it is finally there. The biggest thing I've noticed, performance.
Yeah. It's quick.
It's definitely a lot quicker than it has been in the past. And so you've now got approximately 50% faster startup time when you first log into the portal, which is nice to be able to have as it rebuilds your experiences. But then as you go into the blades and you choose the details or what they call the resources of any one of those main areas, like VMs or SQL or networking or something like that, they will actually come up with about a 300% increase in speed,
right?
Which is darn good. Yeah. So definitely good. Tick that one off. Now, if you scroll down to the bottom of the blog post, which is inside the comments area, to see more details about this particular one, there's a lot of comments about, oh, well, this isn't here, and this isn't there, and this isn't there. That's just the nature of how the portal framework works. Individual teams have to publish their stuff to the portal. Some of them are still publishing to the old portal.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask, is it still sticking around for the
first time? So the old portal is still sticking around. You can access it as, I guess, little links inside the main portal that point to the other one. Things like Azure Active Directory, things like classic VMs and cloud services, site recovery and site backup and stuff like that, they still are inside the old portal.
Yep.
So they will link off to those ones there. So yes, you know, things are moving along.
Yep.
Old portal's not going away, but now we're just basically out of preview mode for that particular one. Moved right along is another thing that came out and is now available is actually the announcement of the Microsoft Azure Backup Server, or what they're calling MABS.
Nice.
M-A-B-S.
MABS.
MABS.
So,
that's the component of MOMS.
Yeah. Yeah, so MABS is now available. It is a Microsoft Azure Backup Server, which is an actual product you can install on-premises that allows you to do backup and restore for small, medium businesses. That gives you mostly the same functionalities which you would get with DPM, Data Protection Management Server, except that it does not allow you to back up to tape. It's only to disk, and then it goes from local disk up into Azure as far as archive is concerned. The biggest important part about this thing is it actually does workloads. So it is workload aware for things like the major workloads, SharePoint, SQL Server, Hyper-V, that sort of stuff, as well as regular file and disk. So it's a definite big improvement. That one there is now available to go off and to work, and obviously goes in and talks to the backup storage vault and that sort of stuff, which you have to use the classic portal for to be able to go off and configure at the moment.
But
for
Azure
now.
Azure Backup is awesome in the sense that so quickly has it jumped from nothing, essentially, to all of this now workload support and independent of DPM.
Yeah.
And
you're taking up my 5 minutes, man. Come on.
Until my 7 seconds to compliment what you're saying.
Thank you. Another one I want to talk about is the fact that we now just released a gated preview of the Azure Container Service, or the ACS, which just announced yesterday. This is the container service, which currently only supports Linux containers because Windows containers are still coming. But in Azure, you're able to go off and to spin up a compute service that is based on container technology that's going to be using the work that we've done with Docker and with Mesosphere and that sort of stuff as far as partners are concerned to be able to give you a container-like experience. A good friend of ours, Ross Gardner, is going to be able to give you some more details on a couple of videos that I have links to inside of that blog post about how the Azure Container Service works. Wow.
Ooh.
I'll give you an extra 7 seconds.
Extra 7 seconds. deeper dives into how the Apache Mesos works and also how the container service works with Docker. Good information there. Also, I did a Tuesdays with Corey, which is out probably around the same time as this particular episode comes out. Go check it out. Those are the main ones I want to talk about.
Nice.
Oh, there's one more. One more.
Go on. Just give us a hint.
Okay.
Debian Linux is now available in the marketplace.
Okay. Excellent. There you go.
New image.
Nice.
That was my 2 second add-on.
Spin the spinner.
Spin.
Unlock it. Zoom it in. There's the bottle. Where she stops, nobody knows.
That's a female bottle.
And that one there is going to be DevOps.
Yeah, let's switch over to the DevOps.
Okay.
Take it away, Mr.
Yeah. Pelican Case, off you go.
Here we go.
Title and everything. Hang on, let me start your timer. Give you 5 minutes. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Oz Pastrmajer. I'm the latest addition to the Ops team. I will be focusing on DevOps and open source on Microsoft. So this week I want to talk about, firstly, the renaming of Visual Studio Online to Visual Studio Team Services. I know many people, for many people, it was a bit confusing because people were thinking that, oh, am I be able to run Visual Studio in the cloud. So it's like the, you know, Team Foundation Services version of the cloud version of Team Foundation Services. So bring more clarity, we now renamed it Visual Studio Team Services, VSTS. And another announcement about the new VSTS is called Release Management. It's on preview, and by using Release Management, you will be able to deploy your application automatically to different environments. What I mean is you can have this application, you need to have some different environments like development, for Q&A, pre-production, production. And by using Release Management, you will be able to deploy your app, all of these environments, fully automated or semi-automated. What I mean is you can just say, okay, everything will be triggering the next step, and my application will be deployed automatically. Or you can say, no, I need my release managers to approve this production deployment to the environment X. David Tassar and Donovan Brown are going to record a session about release management. So stay tuned for Channel 9 about this new release management course. And next, I'm going to talk about the Azure Container Service. We announced this back in September, I guess, but now it's in preview. So you can go to aka.ms/ACS preview and self-nominate to use the preview version of ACS. And to give you more context about what ACS does is, Azure Container Service is an Azure Compute Resource Provider. So by using ACS, you're able to deploy a cluster of virtual machines that you can run your containers on top of these virtual machines and some master nodes, so you will be able to manage the application running on top of these containers. We are using fully open source tools like we're using Docker, Mesosphere, Apache Mesos, of course, and like Marathon, Zookeeper, that kind of stuff. So this gives you the opportunity to choose what kind of an endpoint you want to use. For example, if you want to use a Docker endpoint, you can use Docker Compose. If you want to use the Mesos endpoint, you can use DCOS CLI. So this gives you the ability to run thousands or tens of thousands of containers in enterprise-grade production environments. Right now, it's again on preview state. If you want to try this early preview, you need to self-nominate. You can just go to aka.ms/ACS preview and apply for the preview bits. So that's all from me this week. Hoping to see you again soon.
That was very interesting.
It was very interesting. Yeah. I have no idea what he talked about because it went over top of my head.
It's all upstairs stuff.
Nice. Okay, so what do we got left? We got on-premises and Windows Enterprise, yep. Mobility, clients, management stuff. Services stuff.
Yep.
Here he's going to get. Who's going to get? This half of the table is services, is on-prem. This half of the table is Simon.
Right.
See where she lands.
You're a classification now. I'm on-prem. You're Simon.
You're yeah. Simon. Nice. Oh, it's on-prem.
It's on-prem.
Here we go.
5 minutes. The cheater with the timer. No. The cheater with the... He can make his
He's just
going
to set it to like 8.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I've actually moved the minutes to hours.
Nice.
Chat. Here we go. Right. So 5 minutes on the clock. Here we go.
Here we go.
There we go. 5 minutes on infrastructure and on-prem stuff. So the first one relates to something you were saying about OMS, as we interjected around Azure Backup. So the Ops Management Suite, we talked about a couple of weeks back, or a couple of episodes ago. There were new capabilities added around things like Linux, support for OMS. And if you're not familiar, OMS is Insights, Security Analytics, Azure Backup, and Azure Site Recovery all in the cloud. So it's a consumable service, you can get going incredibly quickly, and it's slick. The dashboards are awesome. And we're adding new functionality all of the time. And just recently, in the last couple of days, the Ops Manager Engineering blog, which we can cut to on my screen, because I've got the power, they've released OMS alerting in a public preview, so you can add this. The blog post tells you how to add it, what you can do, and it means essentially you can generate alerts from the stuff that OMS is monitoring in your environment based on the logs it's collecting. And not only can you, once you've triggered an alert, it can email you. So obviously, nobody gets enough emails, so it's always good to get more. But in addition, you can turn on a remediation, which will trigger an automation runbook from OMS automation. So that could actually bring about some significant change. maybe a machine needs reconfiguring based on an alert, or whatever it may be. So all in all, great innovation going into the product. Definitely check that out, and the link will be in the blog post. So you can be very very configurable inside OMS. Now, this is not designed necessarily to replace Operations Manager, which gives you a very comprehensive alert infrastructure on premises today, but it's an indication of the kind of capabilities that are bringing to OMS and where it will be complementary going forward as well. So that's my first piece of news. The second one is something I've been playing with in the last couple of days and having some challenges with, but I've overcome them now, and that's around Hyper-V and the new virtual switch. So we announced TP4, we made it available. Something that all of our IT pros do when they're using Hyper-V, particularly on laptops and in lab environments, when they're looking to give internet connectivity to their VMs, is they'll have to fiddle around with external virtual switches, potentially have some VMs with multiple NICs to give them internet temporarily, because there's no NAT functionality natively in Hyper-V like there is in some of the like the old virtual PC as an example. Whereas now, new, and I'm highlighting one of our MVP's blogs, he's got a great description of that, Thomas Maurer, from Switzerland. The instructions are so straightforward and so easy. You simply create a new VM switch with this new type called switch type NAT and give it a subnet that you want to use, and then you create and enable the NAT functionality as a second command. So two lines of PowerShell, straightforward. And what it does is it creates the internal virtual switch on your Hyper-V host, as you would do normally with an internal virtual switch. But the magic under the covers allows that particular virtual switch to hook onto your internet connection for your particular Hyper-V host, be it a laptop or whatever. This functionality has been pioneered through the containers technology, but now it's exposed to virtual machines. So if you've got a laptop, like you've got a Surface Book or another laptop where you're running Hyper-V VMs on the client and on server, you can now utilize that. You're copying all the way through my time. It's the same last time.
I got to see if I can waste your time for 7 seconds or so.
Yeah, you've done it.
I think we need to maybe improve Rick's health.
Yeah,
just generally.
I'm on antibiotics right now. So.
Oh, okay, maybe that'll work.
Or an eardrum problem. Right, so that was the first one. That was the second one, virtual switch. The next one is related to that as well. It's around nesting. So I've been playing with nested virtualization for the last couple of days. It's been in client, the client build since build 10.5.65, but now TP4 is available for server, which is build 10.5.86 to coincide with the November update for Windows. The nesting capability is within Windows Server, which is really cool because, again, relating to labs and demos and stuff, and all IT pros want to try stuff out, you can now spin up Hyper-V in a VM on your Hyper-V host, utilizing the NAT functionality, if you like, that I talked about before. The nice thing about this nesting is easy to enable. It's one command that's on the blog post that I'll provide, so very, very quick to enable it for a VM, and then you can enable Hyper-V. A little gotcha, though. You need to disable the virtualization-based security, at least in the early stages of this build, to make it work, essentially. So there's guidance on that. I followed the guidance and still couldn't get it to work. I couldn't start my VM. There is a TechNet page that will include in the links that essentially allows you to completely disable what's called Credential Guard, which you'll know more about from the Windows world. You can do it through group policy, tried that, didn't solve my problem. A registry setting, that didn't solve my problem. Ended up using the BCD edit capability to clean up that area, and it restart the PC. It says now.
Nice.
Oh,
I don't think I've ever seen him run out of time.
No.
I've not run out of time.
Seven seconds to finish. Seconds to finish.
So we restart the PC, and then you'll disable Credential Guard, and then it will all work. So I'll include all the links you need in the blog post. And that was me. I have one more thing to talk about, but it's fine. You'll find out.
I had more to talk about too, so you have to wait.
Yeah, but you slipped it in after anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe you guys can slip an extra little bit in at the end of my section because I think I'm going to underrun.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Take that.
So I don't even need to spin the phone, so go ahead.
Give you an extra minute back there.
So you are on. We're ready to start the timer now that we've heard all about infrastructure stuff. In 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so this is going to be pretty quick. There isn't a huge amount of news because we kind of got through that massive November release for Windows.
All the developers are basically just kind of chilling out right now.
Yeah. Everyone just took a little bit of a break for Thanksgiving and yada yada. No, that's not quite true, but it's been a pretty busy time. There have, however, been some very interesting things, parts of other announcements that are worth pulling a little bit of extra attention to. One of those is probably around our announcements that we made at the September security event around mobile application management without enrollment for devices. I've already mentioned this. It's the idea that you can take some applications, the Office applications, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, in the future, Skype for Business, and also Power BI, and you can just manage those apps on somebody's device, their iPhone, their Android device, without having to have the device actually enrolled into management with Microsoft Intune. Now, the importance of that whole thing is that some people are a little bit scared about enrolling their device because they're a little bit worried about what IT is going to be able to do on it. So they're kind of thinking, can IT look at my naked selfies? Probably not. But it is the kind of...
I can't believe you just went there.
Yeah, I just
can't
believe
you just went there.
But it is the kind of concern that people have. So this is kind of another approach that we're kind of pioneering. And it means that you can take those applications and manage just the applications. Now, that's great. Those applications can all participate in the same set of MAM policies and therefore all be managed, and you can control cut, copy and paste between those applications. But everybody out there knows that there is more to life than just Microsoft apps. Yes, the Office apps are amazing, but sometimes people need to be able to do other things. So as part of the whole kind of approach here, we built the SDK, and the SDK allows other application vendors to build our MAM without enrollment capabilities into their applications. And that includes, out of the box, Adobe, who have already built an Intune capable version of the obvious thing, the Adobe PDF Reader. And also, maybe surprisingly, Box. Box have also built their own version of a MAM managed Box application. So you can use Box for your file storage, not necessarily having to use just, OneDrive. So it gives you a couple of options there. But going even further, they've actually been working with some of the folks out there who are in the mobile world. We actually consider these to be Mad Peas. Everything has
what?
Mad P, M-A-D-P. So these are
I get this mad picture of these green balls with angry faces on
them. Faces.
Emoticons.
Mad-P's. Yeah, mobile application development platforms. So Xamarin is actually a Mad P. And we probably have heard Xamarin. We work in a group,
yeah.
So yeah. So Xamarin is building support in as well, but also SAP Fiori have built in support. So SAP is used by a very large number of our customers. So we've been working with SAP and the Fiori User Experience Kit in order to be able to build in there. But we don't stop there. There's actually a bunch of other partners, companies like Acronis for their True Backup, and their Acronis File Share. We've also got Citrix working with us with Citrix Share File, which is a very, very popular way of being able to take an on-premises, or in fact, it doesn't need to be on-premises, an on-premises file server, maybe some storage from Amazon AWS, maybe some storage from somewhere else, combining them and providing them into an application. So they've already built this in. But also, if you're not entirely enamored with the previous PDF reader, Foxit have also built the MAM capabilities into their mobile application as well.
Nice.
So
that's
cool.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it's a pretty big thing to actually come out of the box and have a good ecosystem of applications to start with, and they're all obviously available in the app stores for those different apps. Also, over the course of the past week, there have been a couple of updates inside of Azure Active Directory. Now, I just want to go back to your talk a little bit earlier on over the portal.
Yeah.
The portal changes. So, new stuff for Azure Active Directory is now going into the portal.
Oh, nice. Not the preview portal. The portal.
No, the portal. And anything that was built in the old portal is still in the old portal. So they haven't begun the work of moving that through yet. Well, they probably have, but it's not coming to fruition. Over time, we're going to see everything for Azure Active Directory obviously come into the new portal. But there are a few things that are already in the portal. Those include cloud application discovery and a couple of the most recently announced features around Azure AD B2C. So that's already there. But over the course of the past week, we've also announced the greater support for the Microsoft Graph, which allows a developer to go and grab hold of the graph and then be able to use the identity information inside of their application. Great to be able to share with your line of business app developers. And we've also...
Oh, look at that.
You said, I'm going to give you a minute.
I thought I was. Wow. I'm sorry. Oh, well, never mind.
I was going to ask you if you did any shows recently and that sort of stuff for new shows to talk about.
Actually, no.
No?
No.
I've been traveling so much.
I actually spent 3 weeks out of the last month out of the office traveling.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, I think
world,
we've all just come back from a big bunch of travel, so understandably so.
Yeah.
We have to pause and regain ourselves. Well. Yeah, Thanksgiving as well. So that's all there.
Yep.
But wow, man, that's quite the episode.
What about the tweets?
The How tweets. There is no mentions of the ops team. There were a couple of retweets that came by from people that really liked some of the previous shows, but no comments, I shall say. We do have. I don't know from our up from our last count or not. We're at 145.
It's definitely increased.
It is increased. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah. That social media stuff, I think it's catching on, eh?
Yeah.
It might do.
You know? Mm. Next, we're going to have to get, like, a Facebook page or something.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know. It's too much effort just to manage this one Twitter account. We should possibly start tweeting from that account occasionally once in a while, too.
Yes, I think
especially
we
have a new episode.
A new episode would help, that's for sure, besides our regular channels. But, yeah, so I was going to say if I could go and just quickly take a look at what the Ops team... Twitter, there was one guy, Mr. underscore ICT, Marcus Robinson, was the last person to go through and to say, worth a watch. So that's good. Yeah. I don't know if it's a Casio, if it's a Citizen, a Timex.
I'm kind of hoping it's a Rolex.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
To clarify, there are other watch manufacturers.
And I will give a shout out to the retweeters, which happened to be mostly us.
Yes.
For the episodes. No, there's actually, there's Terry Lau, Cole Gerendo, or Gendro, Bitten, and also Harry Kimpel have gone through and done some retweets of us. So thank you very much, nice. And keep those retweets up. We appreciate that for the views and visibility. But that's kind of it for this week, I think. Big stuff going on with the Azure, just all this new stuff I didn't even know was coming out. You have to follow the blogs. All the comments are from all of our representative news items and topics of interest are going to be available inside the comments if you wanted to. And if you want to reach us, don't forget, you get a special call out if you happen to retweet or talk about us at @TheOpsTeam is the Twitter hashtag, or Twitter handle, user ID for the overall group of all of us. You can also reach me at @RicksterCDN on a regular basis if you're interested in Azure stuff. I'm going to switch this over to you guys. There you go.
At Matt McSpirit for infrastructure stuff and real systems.
real systems. Stuff you can touch.
Yeah.
With the blinky light guy. The blinky light guy.
I think that's a new email signature. And you can reach me at SciMonster for anything Windows and Enterprise Mobility.
We also have filling in today from a remote desk, Mr. Pelican Case.
Pelican Brief.
There we go. I think it's the title of the episode with this one here. Aruz is going to be telephotoing. What was he going to say? Telephotoing. It's going to be...
Teleporting
his message into the editing suite at some point in time.
Indeed.
Who's up for editing this week, this month, anyway?
I can do it. Can tell
him. Oh, there you go. So he's going to edit this. That's all good. Cool. So that's about it. I think I'm going to say switch us over to the security cam there for a minute there. Oh, wrong one. Oh, hit the right button there. There we go. I think we're good.
A trained monkey could do this better.
So, nice. So with that, join us again next week when we have hopefully this cable fixed for all the mic cracks that we got going on here.
The camera fixed
over there for a better angle
the
over there
is still missing.
So you know, we're working on a tight budget. But we'll see you again next week.
Bye.